Thank you everyone for joining us for this concise and informative discussion by Dr. Michael Wald. Dr. Wald, you have many degrees and certifications in the areas of nutrition and health, including two board certifications in nutrition. You are a doctor of chiropractic with a master's in nutrition, and you are a certified nutritional specialist. You have published successful books on natural health, and right now we will be discussing absorption of foods. Okay, Lisa is asking, I eat a great diet full of fruits and vegetables and very little meat. I don't eat candy or sugary foods. I drink plenty of water, no coffee or soda, but I'm still around 15 pounds overweight and my energy is not so great. Could I have a problem with absorption of what I'm eating? How do I know this for sure?
Okay, so Lisa, yes, you can definitely have an absorption problem. There are different kinds of absorption problems. For example, one might be celiac disease, which is a gluten intolerance, which breaks down the absorptive cells in the small intestine, and then the person can't absorb various things, and all other sorts of health problems can happen. Another form of absorption might be due to an enzyme or enzyme deficiency setting. So that includes stomach acid being low or non-existent. When stomach acid is low, that's called hypochlorhydria. And when it's absent, which it commonly is in various autoimmune diseases, whether it's Hashimoto's or lupus, or it doesn't matter. They've done studies on most autoimmune diseases, and virtually in every single one, there's malabsorption. So we could have, as I mentioned, low stomach acid, no stomach acid, or the pancreas might be fatigued. So we don't really bring it up a lot, but in conversation, but the pancreas makes protein, starch, and fat digesting enzymes, proteases, lipases, and amylases, and other starchy digesting enzymes. So when you eat food, first the starch breaks down in the mouth due to amylase enzyme. If your pH is off in your mouth, that doesn't happen very well. Then you eat that food, it goes into your stomach. The stomach secretes hydrochloric acid and pepsin and some other different acids and enzymes, and that breaks down mostly protein. And if you don't have enough stomach acid, when you eat calcium, for example, in foods, the calcium isn't activated. It's not ionized, so it's used properly. So it's not ionized, and it can just slap itself on the side of blood vessel walls, causing hardness. It can go into the breast, causing a calcium-laden breast cyst in women. It could calcify arteries. So we need proper stomach acid. And then after the stomach, again, mouth, esophagus, stomach, and then that goes into the small intestine. So here's the small intestine, and the pancreas over here has a tube, the main pancreatic duct, that secretes the protein, starch, and fat digesting enzyme, Sonny. When neurohormonal signals in the small intestine trigger the pancreas to do that. So a person can have a weak pancreas for any number of reasons. It's usually genetic. It might be from a virus or alcohol abuse or even pollution can do that. And depending on the level of enzyme or acid deficiencies, it results in various degrees of malabsorption. Now, there are other causes and types of malabsorption, but these are the basic ones. So it's always very confusing to me when I will have a new patient and they've had these digestive issues for a long time and no one's ever talked to them about absorption, malabsorption. I mean, everything you do with a person, right, Sonny, from that first moment, any suggestion has to be taken in. Absolutely. If we're dealing with foods and supplements, you know, it has to rely on digestive enzymes and acids. So, yes, Lisa, you can definitely have a malabsorption or malnutrition problem from the malabsorption. That depending on how where that is, or it could be in all of those places, there are certain enzymes that can be taken orally. Stomach acid can be taken orally as well. And there are some contraindications, by the way, of taking enzymes and stomach acids, by the way. So this is really an area that you need to work with a qualified healthcare provider. Because for example, Sonny, if a person has a reflux esophagitis, taking acids and stomach acids could make that problem worse. If a person has ulcers in the stomach, they do not want to be taking stomach acid or digestive enzymes because it would be horrifically painful, and literally the enzymes can auto-digest the tissues even further. So, you know, those are possibilities in the worst case scenario, but someone who's trained to evaluate you can figure out what enzymes and acids that you may need, when you should take them, how much you should take, whether they should be taken with or without food. And, you know, one thing I should mention, which is interesting, is that digestive enzymes and acids help you absorb foods, and so your nutrition is better. That's why we're talking about it. But sometimes what happens is that you might have other problems, like let's say joint discomfort or autoimmune problems. And if you take the enzymes and acids, particularly the enzymes, away from a meal, so let's say you have a fairly empty stomach, you take the enzymes, more of that's going to be absorbed in your circulation and help to digest inflammatory mediators to help other health problems other than those in the digestive tract. So that's just one example of a couple that I use to consider how and exactly and how much and when timing with meals someone should take acids and enzymes. Now, Lisa also mentions that she's 15 pounds overweight. Malabsorption of the types that I mentioned and other types definitely can lead to weight gain and extreme difficulty losing weight. So for example, if you're not digesting this great diet normally, it's digested differently based on these problems, which can produce inflammatory chemicals, inflammation. Again, I've said a number of times, is a language, it's a chemical language that tells fat cells to stay around. If you're not absorbing, let's say, your proteins well, then you won't build up the lean mass in your body, which is basically your musculoskeletal system, or your muscle system actually, and your organs, that's the lean mass, which need proteins. So if you don't have the proteins, things shrink, they don't work well, and you have less of that lean mass, which means you'll have a slower metabolic rate. So Lisa, I suspect that if malabsorption is happening with you, it's partly because that you do have some sort of malabsorption problem of creating difficulties in your protein, starch, and or fat digesting capacities, which can look like difficulty with weight gain. And you're certainly making other efforts. You're not having sugar, you're rarely having coffee, your meat is low. So those make it much more suspicious to me that there may actually be a malabsorption issue. Mm-hmm. We would want to identify that with simple tests. There are some tests that are just easy to do with the urine. Sometimes we need to do blood testing to look at the pancreatic enzymes, for example, but the technology is there. And then, of course, as always, we want to compare your labs, not just to average people, but to healthy people. The healthy people comparison is what I've talked about in the other video on the blood detective approach. That helps to identify some hidden and not so obvious nutritional problems. So the last thing I'll say about this, Sunny, is that a person may not have enough acids or enzymes, let's say, to digest properly, but that could be from any number of diseases. Diseases like cancer that exponentially increase nutritional need, and if you don't get it, you decompensate. So it's important to know what health conditions are there, because sometimes if you fix the health condition, it'll fix the enzymes and acid problem. You don't have to give them. And then the last thing I need to mention is that how long do you take stomach acid or enzymes once it's been determined that you need them? Probably not forever, but sometimes it may be forever depending on your health problem. If there's no rhyme or reason for me to believe that a person can make these enzymes and acids again, then my recommendation is they take them lifelong with periodic retesting so that we can adjust the dosing that you need, because it doesn't always stay the same. Generally speaking, as we grow older, we have less and less digestive capacity, so we would probably want more and more pancreatic and stomach acid, you know, supplementation. But there is the thought, Sunny, that if a person takes these acids and enzymes, it might prevent the stomach or the pancreas from making its own enzymes because you're getting it from the outside. So there may be something to that as well. So that has to be determined based on an individual evaluation that I have with people to figure this out.
Got it.
So that's the role of malabsorption, I think, in everything.
Thank you, Dr. Wall. That was great information.
You're welcome.
Thank you.